True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is Coronavirus Daily, World on Pause. I'm Charles Feldman from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles.
And I'm Mike Simpson. Now that the CDC eased the mask requirements, a lot of states relaxing their rules too. But it's leading to some anxiety. People out there nervous about ditching the masks indoors when there are still a lot of unvaccinated people. So we'll look into how you can tame your fears.
The idea of vaccine passports, popular in the country's most populated state.
Pandemic could be leading to more deaths of despair. We'll explain what those are and why they're happening.
And lots of people are taking vacations again, and it's creating a big hassle for people who want to rent a car.
We start with maskless anxiety. Dr. Lena Pearl, clinical psychologist specializing in anxiety disorders. So how do we eventually wean ourselves off of masks? Because we can't just walk around with them forever.
That's a good point. I hope we don't walk around with masks forever. And I do think it's important to wean ourselves off of these ultimately. I think we've used these masks for a long time now to regulate our anxiety. So they've helped us feel safe to move about the world, which is a wonderful thing. And so it makes sense that now when we try to take them off, we're going to feel our anxiety spike in our bodies and we're going to start to tell ourselves stories like, I'm not safe, and start to try to notice things that might be dangerous around us.
Yeah. So how do I talk to myself when that happens? Because the thing about the mask, right, is I could feel it on my face. I can't feel the vaccine, but I have to know it works.
That's a great point. Yeah. I think like any anxiety, you want to make sure that you don't confuse that feeling of anxiety with actual danger, right? So you're going to take it down, anticipate feeling a little anxiety, like a little bump. You might feel some worry thoughts, notice your heart racing. What to do in that moment is to really use a voice on yourself that is both compassionate and encouraging, right? So you want to be, say to yourself, it's normal that I feel a little anxious, of course, but also I'm safe. I can do this. So you really want to encourage yourself.
I've heard some people say, I'm vaccinated, but if I want to keep wearing a mask and I think it's safer and maybe it'll stop me from getting a regular cold down the road or the flu come next winter, what's wrong with that? And that sounds like a perfectly reasonable thing, but I'm wondering whether or not at some level, that's psychologically not a good thing.
No, it's not the worst safety behavior in the world to wear a mask. But I would say, I think it's very important. I don't think people realize that we use other people's facial expressions in order to regulate our anxiety and move through the world. So I think maybe people noticed when they were wearing the masks, it's kind of scary and anxiety provoking to not know how other people are feeling around you. You can't really tell if they're smiling at you. You can't really make that connection. And that is actually really important for us psychologically, to be able to look at a stranger and smile. It helps us know if we're safe, It helps our nervous system regulate. So I do think it's important ultimately to take a break from the masks. You know, if you're really feeling like you need it, of course, you know, go ahead. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's better than not leaving the house. But it is important to be able to see each other's faces.
And probably a little kindness for those who still want to wear them. I mean, be mindful that there are varying comfort levels out there. Don't be hard on anybody else who still has theirs on.
Absolutely. Be patient with yourself and be patient with others. I think it's going to take a minute for us to, you know, get rid of them or even use them less, and that's okay.
Dr. Lena Pearl, licensed clinical psychologist, New York City, specializing in anxiety disorders.
The idea of a vaccine passport seems to be popular in California. A new poll shows almost 2 out of 3 people in the state support allowing places like stadiums, cruise ships, and concert venues to require vaccination proof and negative COVID tests.
Most people also like the idea of allowing businesses to require certain workers to get vaccinated. Mark DiCamillo, director of the Berkeley Institute of Government Studies, stated the poll. So, Mark, partisan split here, right?
Right. Well, we didn't actually word it as a vaccine passport because I think passport in some ways implies a government-issued document. What we were talking about was vaccine verification. So if there are apps out there that enable businesses to determine whether their patrons have been vaccinated, the public is in favor of allowing that to happen. There are big differences, though, as you say, by party. Democrats overwhelmingly supportive, Republicans are not. And there's also a relationship between whether you've been vaccinated or not. If people who report that they themselves have already been vaccinated, overwhelmingly supportive of the idea, those who say they're not likely to be vaccinated are opposed.
What about age groups? Any differences there?
Not a lot. Really, it's much more partisan. And then the vaccination issue, what your status is in terms of the vaccination. And actually, those two are related because Democrats and no party preference voters are actually more likely to be vaccinated than Republicans. They're more resistant taking on the vaccine.
I guess it's a good thing you asked it the way you did because, you know, you ask a lot of the government agencies how this would work and then they say, well, we're not really sure how this would work yet. So if it's just going to be up to businesses, well, maybe that's a little bit easier if we're all on some sort of app and there's just standards met for, you know, my privacy.
Right. And we actually had a separate question about the role of government. And that's where you get a lot of contentiousness and there's no real consensus. Only about a third of the voters in California favors the government assuming responsibility for establishing a uniform vaccination verification system. So there's a little bit of hesitancy about the government's role. And I think, you know, that's really why we did not use the term passports, because passport almost implies government involvement.
So people have no difficulties with big business giving, you know, apps or requiring verification, I think was the word you used right in the questions, but they do if it's government.
Right. There's less trust in government, particularly among conservatives and Republicans. That's the state of affairs right now in politics. A lot of distrust about government. I mean, look at what they're saying about elections. People don't, most Republicans don't even believe the result of an election. It is an unusual situation in terms of public opinion polling, I'd have to say.
And I guess if we've learned anything through this, it's the sense that businesses are going to have to do what they need to do to get by. And if this is one of the things that they deem this or, you know, continuing the mask mandates, sign at Starbucks today said, it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not, you got to wear that mask before you come in here. Of course, LA and California has its rules, but the businesses are going to do what the businesses are going to have to do.
Right, and you're already starting to see it in sports arenas. You see certain sections of the stadiums now being reserved for people who can show that they've been vaccinated. So that's already taking place. And, you know, these apps that the businesses are trying to put online, you know, are going to help facilitate that. Right now, you can just bring your verification card with you to try to get into these arenas. But there has to be some facility in order to allow businesses to do that. And the public is basically allowing that. It's just that they have some hesitancy about the government being responsible for that.
Mark DiCamillo directs the Berkeley Institute of Government Studies. That new poll out today.
A new report shows deaths of despair have been on the rise for the past decade across the U.S., and those are deaths from things like drug overdoses, alcohol, and suicides.
Early numbers from 2020 show they might be on the rise even more because of the pandemic. KYW's Matt Leon talked to Jonah Cunningham with Trust for America's Health. They put out the report, Cunningham explaining what it means moving forward as data from the pandemic starts to really be examined.
I mean, it's not an understatement to say the pandemic affected Americans in almost inconceivable ways, from social isolation, loss of jobs, caring for a sick loved one, or perhaps losing a loved one to illness. It's a lot of trauma that's been spread out across our country. And some of the stats that we've seen are concerning. For example, the preliminary overdose data shows a 27% increase from October 2019 to September 2020. Now, in comparison, from 2018 to 2019, there was only a 5% increase in overdose rates. So pretty startling statistics right there.
You talk about the rate increasing for people of color. What do we have a why to that? Are there trends? Are there certain circumstances we can point to why that's shifting?
Well, the trends predate 2019. Actually, in 2018, there was a small overall decrease in substance use deaths, and that was mainly driven by a decrease in the white population. However, communities of color across the board experienced increases in 2018. And so this is the second year in a row. The why, you know, deaths are multi-causal, right? They're a result of different reasons. We do know that there's a lack of culturally appropriate care and perhaps outreach in these communities. There's been studies that have shown just the access of different opioid use disorder treatments like buprenorphine versus methadone and how accessible they are in certain communities. So actually on our recommendation section, we really highlight some of the recommendations for culturally appropriate care, ensuring access in every community to really try to get these trends in the right direction.
Overall, how ready, how prepared are we for what looks like it's going to be a huge spike coming?
The bright spot is we have the largest increase in investment in mental health services ever, but we still have a long way to go. So some things coming down the pike. We have the transition next year to a three-digit suicide prevention lifeline number. Some of the COVID rescue plans on the federal level increased funding for substance use and mental health services through the block grants, substance use block grants, double, triple fold, a large increase there, but it takes time to get that money out the door. We know what works. I think the silver lining is we know what works. We know what prevention programs can really steer children who have been traumatized or individuals in crisis and connect them to the care they need. But it's just about scaling that up, investing in it, and ensuring equitable access to each community.
And I think I read that you guys do state by state. Do you happen to have Pennsylvania, what you saw in Pennsylvania?
Yeah. So in 2019, overall, the deaths of despair were down 2% for a total of over 7,200 deaths. But one startling increase was alcohol deaths, which increased 12% for a total of just over 1,000 people in 2019.
And is there any prelim data looking 2020? Is that broken down state by state, or is it just overall so far?
Just overall so far. And it's been a kind of a hodgepodge where we have the CDC preliminary overdose data. And then there's also studies like calls to the crisis line that increased, as well as the increase in ER visits that we've seen. But again, that's overall. Those are sample studies. We don't have it broken down by state quite yet.
You talk about some of the things we need to be done as we're looking forward. What would be some other recommendations? Are there other recommendations how we can try to address this from a lot of different angles, I would imagine?
Yeah. I mean, we can look at it through the age groups. So for example, ensuring school-based mental health resources, ensuring counselors, increasing the availability of social emotional learning to really help youth that have been isolated. They've had to switch to virtual school. Then we can go down the pipeline where we're making sure that crisis intervention services are available, and it's not a blue light issue, but rather a healthcare issue. And just in general, looking at the workforce and ensuring that we're investing in that pipeline to make sure people can access care, that they aren't, when they have the courage to seek out care, they aren't running into barriers.
It seems to me, and this is just anecdotal, in the last year or so, there has been much more talk about the importance of mental health, because I think a lot of people who never struggled before struggled over the last year. Could we look at this if we want to, I don't want to say silver lining because there's been so much terrible things, but kind of a wake-up call for the importance of mental health, which obviously goes hand-in-hand with substance abuse, and maybe we can look at this as a watershed event that really took us in a better direction going forward?
That's the hope. You mentioned just kind of breaking the stigma, even talking about mental health like we are. That's a huge first step to let people know that they're not alone, that they can share if they're in pain. Another thing we could do is just sharing resources. Like, two numbers I'll leave you and your listeners with are the Suicide Prevention Lifeline number, which is 1-800-273-8255, and then the SAMHSA Helpline for Substance Abuse, which is 1-800-662-4357. And on top of sharing resources, breaking the stigma, and having those conversations, you can also be an advocate to either your local, your state representatives, or your federal representatives, and let them know that mental health is important and that we need to be investing in ensuring access to care.
Coming up after this short break, maybe you should do without the rental car on your next vacation. People are taking vacations again, and it's been quite the headache for some when it comes to renting a car. It's because there's a rental car shortage.
So much for a relaxing time. WBBM's Cisco Cotto talks to Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors, explain why the shortage is happening.
It's an increase in people are going to destinations where vehicles are required to explore outdoors. But we also have a big factor, and it's attributable to the fact that a lot of the rental car companies sold their inventory during the pandemic. So there's a shortage of supply.
And now that they want more cars, well, there's shortages at car dealers, so the rental companies can't even replenish their stock.
Absolutely. And that's really the impact when you see changes in the marketplace. We have these influxes, and we have to really be creative in the way we travel and maybe choose destinations where a car is not required. And as it relates to destinations where you travel, there are places that are certainly sold out. Places that we recommended last year, again this year, are popular due to the ability to social distance outdoors. Those are places like Wyoming and Colorado.
So what is the advice if you do need a rental car? Is it just go ahead of time? I mean, you know, go ahead and get the plans ahead of time. And how do you make sure you don't get stuck without one?
Well, it's really important to determine your travel dates. Try to avoid major holidays. We've also noticed that there's more availability when you're returning the vehicle to the same place where you picked it up. And we're also seeing that it's more favorable and more likely that you'll be able to get a rental car if your time frame is extended. It's harder to get a car for a weekend getaway than it is to get a vehicle for a weekly rental.
Let's talk about the flights. Still seeing some travel deals. Is that expected to continue?
I don't think so. I think as inventory becomes less available, we're going to see prices rise. We're also seeing flights sell out, particularly on direct flights. And first class and business class tickets are really hard to come by.
And does that just reflect whether it's the rental car shortage or flights that are expected to go up in price? Does that just reflect the fact that the travel industry, it can't just flip a switch and go back to normal? It's really a period of ramping up to get back to normal.
You'd be surprised. I mean, we are seeing levels. 2019 was a fantastic year for the travel industry, and we are seeing levels above the performance of 2019. So I think travel, with more people vaccinated and people just, you know, being tired of sitting home and not having opportunities to visit family and to go to places, that travel is on the rise. And I really expect that to continue as long as we can provide safe mechanisms and we can control this pandemic.
Any concerns with hotels? We've talked about rental cars and flights. Any concerns with hotels or other accommodations if you're traveling?
A lot of hotels are sold out. So I think if you're looking to travel for summer and even into fall, now's the time to secure your confirmations. And also recognize that if you have cancellation policies, you have the flexibility to cancel. But I would definitely start looking into having reservations in place for your future travel. And keep in mind, prior to travel, more so now than ever, you're also going to want dining reservations and your activities pre-planned.
A British man was on his yacht off the coast of eastern Australia when it started to sink. Police then began what would be a 26-hour rescue effort. The yacht was towed to Newcastle Harbor, north of Sydney. It must have been a tough situation for the man, whose life was clearly in danger. Police, though, didn't care. They processed him and then quickly escorted him to mandatory quarantine in a hotel in downtown Sydney, where he has to stay for 2 weeks. Australia closed its borders to non-citizens and non-residents in March 2020 because of the pandemic. Doesn't matter if your yacht was sinking off the coast. Rules are rules.
Stranded at sea to stranded in the hotel room. This is an Odyssey original. You can find us on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Suppose you could have taken it to a kangaroo court.
Has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.